Okay, so for some of you guys, it's going to be a review. For some of you guys, it's going to be the first time. But today we're going to talk about the selling system and why have a selling systems. So for some of you guys going through that have gone through this before, what would you say are the four positive outcomes of a seller consultation or a seller meeting?
Yes, no. Next appointment.
That's two of them. Yes, no. Kind of a well-understood future. Yeah, so that's three. What else?
What was the other one?
Clear future. Clear future, so a future appointment, if it makes sense to have a future appointment. Or homework. A lesson.
Oh, a lesson, right.
Right?
Nobody learns lessons.
Well, not the way we do it. No, this is why I have a sales system first. So, we want to create a systematic series of actions that's directed at achieving an end. Defines how you get something done. It's a course of action that leads to a decision about a sale. And it provides the order of specific actions. So with an effective system, you're able to consistently achieve a desired outcome or a set of outcomes, and it allows you to achieve those outcomes without wasting resources, time, energy, money, etc. So there's lots of benefits. The biggest one is you can more easily strategize or debrief a sales call with your sales manager or a colleague with the selling system that has action steps that are described in a common and specific language. And the point of that is we've seen the submarine, right? So at the end of a sales meeting, we just, you know, like, oh, I didn't get the sale, whatever. It's like, okay, great. Let's break this down. And did you go through the bonding rapport? Did you go through the upfront contract? Did you go through the pain funnel? Did you go through this? And if we're skipping steps, it's really easy with a proper sales system where things went south versus did you do the buyer consult? Yes. Okay, well, we don't know where it went wrong then. Or did you do a listing appointment? Like, really, the only thing we do is, you heard me say this to you before, Carlton. Did you do a listing presentation? Like, that was basically the limits. That was that, and then what were the objections? So having a sales system, we have greater clarity, greater granularity, unable to diagnose it, right? So we already talked about four positive results. And yes, no, so we're getting a lesson. The other thing we skipped on was getting an introduction. Remember, we're asking for introductions. Okay, is there anyone you introduce them to, right? Not referrals, introductions. So let's go over the traditional sales system, right? You can go through. We're recording for like an hour. You can't wait. Okay, so the traditional sales system, what is the first thing to do? What's the first thing the prospect does when you meet them? Lie. It's funny, but it's true, right? Lie. So the first thing they do is they lie to the salesperson. So, I mean, what's the last store you went to at the mall?
Apple.
Apple. Can I help you?
No, I'm just browsing.
Why the hell are why are you in the store?
I'm not ready to talk.
Why are you in the store?
I don't know what to say.
I'm just browsing.
I'll come up to you. That's a good point.
And it got so bad where Amelia, when we went to, I can't remember, it wasn't H&M, but it was one of those stores. Maybe it was H&M at Scottsdale. She wasn't even two yet. And the lady walked out, was like, can I help? And she's like, go away.
I do remember that story.
So it's built in, right? They see it.
They hear it.
They hear it. So first person, they lie to the salesperson. What's the second step?
Shop. Browse.
What does a client do when they, I mean, Amir actually hit on it earlier. What do they do when they're talking to you? They want your information,
yeah.
Your knowledge, right?
A free consultation.
A free consult. Right? So the second thing to do is they steal.
This is really.
It's very positive. Okay, they steal your knowledge and they want a free consultation. How many times has someone asked you, how's the market doing? You answer them. And what happened next? Oh, okay, I'll get back to you when I'm ready to sell or I'm ready to buy. And that's it. That's the end of the conversation. Okay. So that's the second thing. They steal your information. What's the third thing they do?
Hide. No. That's
amazing. That's number four.
Give you false hope.
They mislead you.
There you go. I got this down.
You got this down. Because we've experienced it. We know this because we've experienced it and we unconsciously do it to other people. It was mislead you. Okay, that sounds good. I'll get back to you when I'm ready to sell. 6 months later, they list it with someone else. What happened? Right? Or the old saying in real estate, finish the sentence, buyers are.
Buyers. Carlton's 2015.
Okay, it's current. It's still relevant. It's still hot. Okay. So, but the reason why is that they don't know what they want, but they'll mislead us into telling us what they need to do to get us to back off the pressure, right? Just browsing. I'll talk to you when I'm ready to talk to you. Okay?
Sorry.
So then what's the last thing they do? Right? It's the Prospect Protection Program. Yeah. You can't find them. It's a great service. And so they hide from you. And I mean, I'm sure it has never happened to you, but if you talk to your prospect, had a great conversation on the phone, call me tomorrow, and
they don't
tomorrow comes and goes, the call happens three times and still never hear from them again the next.
And that's the mislead. Call me tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right? Or the weak objection, oh, I gotta talk to my wife. That's exactly what it is. And we say it because we know it works. Or I'm trying to think how many people have called me and I'll say, yeah, just give me a call back next quarter. Because I know they won't. Yeah. Salespeople aren't good at follow-up, right? So that's the prospect's sales system. And then let's go to our sales system. All right, so this is the salesperson. Yeah. What we know. So this is the system that the buyers have done. Naturally, they figured it out. This is what works, right? If we show up, and we lie to them, and then we steal their information, and then we mislead them when we hide. We know this works, everyone does it, and we get away with it, no one cares. The story that Brad talks about was, he has a policy where he does not talk to people during family dinner time. So the phone rings at family dinner time, he doesn't answer the phone, okay? And he said his daughter, I think she was like two at the time or whatever, maybe three. And he was trying to call somebody because the dinner wasn't ready yet. So he picked the phone, and as he hit, as he picked up the phone, someone called, a salesperson. Horrible, I know. So he answered the phone, and the lady is like, well, we're calling you to see if you'd be interested in any dance lessons. And he started, do you remember the first thing he said? Yeah, like my leg hurts, I can't. Oh, no, I get uncomfortable dancing in front of other people, right? And so he can hear her flipping the script, right?
No.
What to say, the guy says he feels uncomfortable dancing in front of other people. And I can't remember what the other things he told her, but they eventually, look, I don't have two legs, right? And she hung up, he hung up. And afterwards, his daughter was like, Dad, you lied to that lady. Okay, but let's say he dies tonight, or dies tomorrow, is he going to heaven? In the most common religion in our country, would he go to heaven still? Absolutely, because there's nowhere in the Ten Commandments that says you can't lie to salespeople, right? We all do it. So, okay, so the salesperson's system today, not our system. What's the first thing we do?
Qualify,
right? Ideally, do we always do this? Maybe not so much. But the first thing we do is we qualify. right? What's the second thing we do? Someone's paying attention. And what's the last thing we do? Close. Natural, right? So that's the sales system that we all know today. And that's the sales system that sucks. That's the sales system that we created to work with the sales system the buyers created. But we also know, how effective is this? How much do we like to follow up? How much do we enjoy chasing prospects down? None of us? None of us love it?
Exhilarating.
It's exhilarating, right? So that's the sales system as we know today. And now, this is the sales system that we're going to use moving forward. So there's... bonding rapport, upfront contract, pain, budget, decision, fulfillment. This is really just presentation. And post-sell. Let me double check the submarine, make sure I got that right. All right, still good. So right now, what we do is we qualify, then we present, and then we close. How good are we at qualifying, by the way?
Could be better.
Huh?
I said, could be better.
Getting better.
Could be better.
Best of the best.
Best of the best, that's good right there. How about you? Great, good. So qualify is one of the things that we should be really good at,
yeah.
And we're horrible at it. Why? Why are we horrible at qualifying? Well, there's that. We don't want to... what happens if we qualify well?
You don't
want
to kill your potential deal by asking if they have a realtor.
Yeah.
For example.
So we qualify, then we're taking deals out of our pipeline, and now we're feeling nervous about our future. What do we love to have?
Pipeline.
We love to have a full pipeline. Even if there's a bunch of C's and D's in there, we love to have a full pipeline, right? So we're pretty weak at qualifying. And the example right there is, Brian, I'd love to show you that home. We're going to be meeting this afternoon. Oh, real quick before I forget, do you have a realtor to help you when the time is right?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Well, that's going to be a problem, right? But if I don't ask you that question, I'm excited. I got to show a house today, even though they're not going to be riding with me, right? So qualifying saves you a lot of time. And that's the reason why we're afraid to qualify is because we don't want to lose that possible commission, even though it was never really there. And that's one of the Sandler rules. You don't have a sale until the sale is actually complete. Okay? And then the second thing was prospecting. Or not prospecting, presenting. Where do we spend the most time in? Between qualifying, presenting, and closing, where do we spend the most time?
Presenting.
So, we're all salespeople. We're mostly high ice type of people. What do we love to do the most?
Talk.
Love. We love to talk. So we spend way more time, way too much time in the presentation side, right? And the last thing is closing. But what do we do if we're going to presentation and then closing? What are we doing to our prospect? We're applying too much pressure. So what we should be doing in reverse is qualifying, closing, and then presenting. Sounds backwards. Sounds crazy, right? So these are the seven steps. So qualifying is right here. Then this is, this is qualifying. This is closing. And this right here is the presentation. So what we want to do is go through the sales cycle properly, where we're qualifying them up front, and then we're closing them, making sure that we're on the same page and that we know what they want, so we can give them what they want. At the very end, fulfillment is giving them what they want, telling them how our solution fits their bill. Okay? So, the Sandler philosophy believes that professional selling is a noble profession. Don't let the prospect treat you with disrespect. Be sure to understand the prospect's issue, budget, and decision process before you try to convince them of anything. If you don't know what their pain is, you don't know what their budget is, you don't know what their decision-making process is, then you got no business telling them what you have. Okay? Help the prospect discover the real pain and that you are the solution. And sometimes part of the pain process is not just you telling them or them telling you what the pain is. It's you walking them through to know what that pain is. So they may have pain that they are not aware of. So never get between the prospect and where you want them to go. So here are some rules. Sometimes the prospects buy in spite of the salesperson's reasons. So you might think you got a good game. You might think you're selling them well. In reality, they're buying just because they need someone to buy from. Okay? Never ask for the sale. Make the prospect give up. And that's part of the way we sell here. You won't sell anybody anything until they discover that they want it. Some of you guys have gone through some information products or seen some presentations, right? Whether it's Ty Lopez or, you know, Frank Kern or some of these other guys. When you go through this, you want to buy what they have so badly before they even tell you what it is, right? They're selling the vision, the dream, the sales. They don't even talk about the price yet. They don't even talk about what the product is. And you're so excited. You're so hyped up. And this is part of that process, discovering the pain, helping them discover what they want. And I think another perfect example of this is not quite a perfect alignment, but you guys remember when the iPad came out, like 2011? Was there a market for it? No, everyone was excited about their tiny phones and they had their laptops. There was this, all right, an iPod Touch, right? iPhones and iPod Touches. And this is before iPhones or smartphones started getting bigger again, yeah. Right? They were trying to get smaller and smaller. Mm-hmm. And Steve Jobs figured out what the market wanted before they even knew what they wanted. He helped them discover what they wanted beforehand. And never get between the prospect and where you want them to go. One thing we talked about, or he talks about, is the negative reverse clock. So this is, it's over, hostile, disinterested, neutral, interested, enthusiastic, and sold. Can you guys see that? Of all of these, which do you think is the easiest or the hardest to close? Neutral. Neutral.
Hostile.
Hostile.
It's over.
It's over. So neutral is the hardest to close. Because neutral means that you have to kind of create some sort of excitement, some sort of energy one way or another. If they're hostile and you listen to them, you can still sway them the positive way. If you think about what's the opposite of love?
Hate.
It's not hate.
Opposite of love?
It's apathy. Right? Once the relationship is apathetic, it's like dead. Hate, you can bring them back.
Yeah.
Apathy, you're back in the market, huh?
Using big words.
Apathy means, I mean, we don't break it down in Latin.
It means the opposite of love.
Opposite of passion.
Yeah.
Right, without pathos, I think, is emotion. So without emotion.
Yeah.
And so when we talk about the prospects and the pendulums, the point here is no matter where they are on this cycle, you need to move them backwards. You need to pull it away. And it's called negative reversing. So if they're, it's over, like, you're right, it's over. I wouldn't, knowing what you said, hearing what you said, I wouldn't do business with us either. Right? And then they go like, oh, that was unexpected. Like, they're waiting for you to fight for your position. It's like, no, knowing what you know, knowing what you said, I wouldn't do business with us either. I say, oh, wait a minute, that was totally unexpected. What was that about? And so you bring it back to, well, now that, you know, we're not doing business together, can I just ask you a question? Bring that back together. On the flip side, so no matter where they are, so if they're a 9, you want to get to a 10, okay? They're a 6, you want to get them to a 7. They're a 4, you want to bring them to a 5 before you close. And even a 3, you want to bring them back. But you don't want to go from sold to pissed off, right? You don't want to get sold to neutral. You want to bring it back just a little bit to get that, let them sell themselves. So this is something that I didn't understand what was happening to me when I first bought in the Sandler. I told you guys I spent quite a bit on Sandler, a lot more than you guys had to spend. And when I was sitting in there, and I was sold, I was walking, I was ready to buy. I was ready to go. I didn't know what the price was. I was ready to go because people in there I wanted to be friends with, okay? So it's kind of like that whole country club you want to buy into. Yeah. I want to hang out where those people are hanging out. He's like, well, if you want to hang out here, you could just stand outside the door and say hi to people as they're walking in. Right? I mean, he took it back a little bit. I was like, no, they're not going to respect me if I'm standing outside. Yeah. Just basically, they were like a cardboard. You know, talk to me. But he took it away a little bit, right, to get me to want it more, to fight and defend my position of why I wanted it.
So we have going to that, like on our script, we beefed it up a little bit with a couple more questions.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're calling somebody and they say, we're just calling, buying some house in the area, consider making a cash offer for the property. Give me $250,000. Awesome. So I'm assuming you've already done a valuation appraisal on the property. You meant your asking price? no, not yet. Oh, no worries. I'm just trying to clarify how you came up with your number.
Yeah.
So.
Let's back it up a little, right? Yeah.
Back it up a little bit. So we just added that. So beefed it up a little bit.
Awesome. So we talked about the rules. So that was a pretty high level as to why have a selling system. So can you guys give me 3 or 4 benefits of using the selling system?
You know, for sure, like where shit hit the fan.
Mm-hmm. And you can work on that. All right. You can break down where the sell went fell apart.
I like what the book says, that you gotta have a selling system, because the prospect selling system says that the salesman loses always.
Right. Yeah. So we're gonna improve the process to improve our batting average. Right. Any other benefits?
Just qualifying. I feel like asking questions and like in scenarios like ours, where we talk to someone, they're already working with like a realtor. Like if we wouldn't have asked for the qualifying questions, we could have known that the first call rather than the second or third call after we spent.
All right, following up with them.
Save time and money.
Yeah, saving time, absolutely. And for me, the favorite part is the clarity. You know, I think for me personally, you know, being a high S personality, it's hard for me to close. Right, it's uncomfortable for me to close. And with the system, there's no closing. It's just a natural process. They're going to work with you or not work with you, because we discovered together what the right course of action is. Yeah, and that's it. They won't ever feel sold because they're buying.
Well, I think it's more like you're not trying to convince, you
know, yeah.
You're not trying to convince them to sell or buy with you. It's more of, do you qualify for me to help you?
Yeah, exactly. So that's basically it. What questions do you guys have about the selling process? No, there's no board for the selling process. So this bonding and rapport, we'll do that next week.
And what was the question?
No. What questions? You guys have any questions about the selling process? Any part that's not clear?
Are you like able to give us like a scenario? You're saying like qualify, close, and then present, right?
Yeah.
So, like, like in the close part, how are we, like what are we asking to close? How do we close before?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll go back to let's just say I'm selling you. Trying to think what's a good example here. So let's say I'm selling you this MacBook, right? Okay, which I would never do, but for this exercise, for this particular exercise, I'm gonna sell you this MacBook. So before we do the bonding rapport, which we'll go over next time, and we're talking about building relationship, right? How to understand you. And then, Ruben, I appreciate you spending time with me. Typically, what happens here is you're gonna have some questions from me about what the sales price is, what the warranties are, and performance questions about this product. Obviously, I have some questions for you about what you're looking for in a laptop. So I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions. Is that okay? Okay, and naturally, at the end, two things are going to happen. Either you're going to decide that what I have for you is not going to make sense for you. Would you feel comfortable telling me that it's not going to work for you? Okay, and likewise, if I feel like this product isn't the best fit for you, would you be okay if I refer someone else to you, to another store, probably the Microsoft store?
Oh, my God.
And if we do business together, would you feel comfortable moving forward today if it made sense for both of us? Okay, so that's the upfront contract.
So then you close them, basically.
Okay, so that's the upfront contract. That's the upfront contract, right?
Yes.
So pain. Okay, so obviously there's a reason why you came into the store. What's going on right now? Why are you in the market for a laptop? I mean, obviously, you're not going to get deep in pain. It's not going to be crying in front of me, but...
My Microsoft.
Okay, so your Surface didn't work, okay? Right? So you got your Surface laptop, it didn't work. Okay, how long has that been a problem?
A few months now.
A few months?
Yeah.
Okay. And how's that impacted what you're trying to do at work?
Slows me down.
Slows you down? Okay, what do you do?
I do insurance and buy houses.
You buy houses? I mean, you probably make a lot of money doing that. Okay. So I mean, what would you say? 100,000, 200,000 a year is probably pretty. Was that what do you make buying houses?
Make, I don't know yet. 100,000.
100,000. Okay. So if you lose a day, I mean, there's like 250 days in a year. So that's like how much? That's like $400.
Yeah.
Right? So if you're down like a day, like that costs you $400. $400. I mean, I don't know about you. You know, for me, personally, $400 is a lot of money, but it's probably not a lot of money for you.
No, it is.
Oh, it is? Okay. And if you would like to lose a week, I mean, how much would that impact you? Is that, what, is 400 times 5 is?
$1,800.
$2,000. $2,000. We don't do the math for the prospect, unless they do it wrong. We let them do the math.
Okay.
Okay, so 400 times 5, I mean, that's... How much is that?
400 times 5?
Yeah.
It's $2,000.
$2,000, okay. So that's probably going to... I mean, if you lost $2,000 tomorrow, that probably wouldn't really do anything to you, though, would it?
Okay, yeah.
Are you taking it backwards?
Taking it backwards. It's negative, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so $2,000, boy, you know, and that's just every once in a while. So how would you say that's impacting you?
It's impacting me.
$2,000 a week.
$2,000 a week,
yeah,
that's a lot of money.
That's a lot, right? And how does that make you feel?
It makes me feel very, very bad.
Bad?
I feel broke.
Right. Maybe a little broke, maybe a little frustrated?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Okay, does anyone else know about this problem?
You go through the payphones.
I know.
That's exactly what I'm doing. I'm going through the sales system right now. Okay. Okay. I'm trying to get him the tears. So okay, so have you talked to anyone else about this problem?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
It's a personal problem.
It's a personal problem. We're trying to make pain as personal, okay? So, I mean, knowing that it's going to cost you like $2,000, then if, we identify that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine two more additional pains talking about the laptop, but let's just go with that pain.
Yeah.
Okay, then we go about the budget. Knowing all this, here, trying to think. It's not that you have money set aside for this. What's the next question? I haven't done this for a laptop because normally for the for buying a house. You were talking about like what they're, you know, investors in this area are looking to spend this.
$2,000 that you're losing from not having a laptop, what does it worth to you?
Does it benefit you to?
I know, that's where I want to go, but that's not where, that's not.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say that spending $1,000 on a new laptop today would be worth that, losing $2,000? Is that?
If he's looking at a certain laptop, he could say, look, this laptop, you know, you can go into the benefit of that laptop to some, that benefits somebody else in his position.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're trying to figure out his budget without.
Right. Would you be able without asking him.
Without asking what's your budget. All right, I'm going to hit the notes here.
$2,000
yeah.
Worth it to you?
How much is it worth it to you?
Do you want to continue to lose all of that money? Or put it towards looking at something that works?
Well, generally, he's looking at this price range already.
Yeah, no, he's definitely looking at this price range already, right? Okay, so before you came into here today, I would imagine that you probably thought, consider some numbers that you were looking to spend. Would you mind sharing with me what you were looking to spend today on a laptop? Over 1,500?
No more than 1,500.
Okay. All right. So knowing that you're losing like $2,000 a week, your budget is $1,500. Is that? Okay. I'm just trying to figure out, right? So, you know, the laptops that we sell, given what the problems you talked about, I mean, some of them are between $1,500 and $2,000. Some of them are as high as $3,000, $3,500, you know, for like the top of the line MacBook Pros. So, knowing that, if we were between $1,500 and $2,000, do you think you'd be okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now you just upsold him.
Well, no, we're anchoring him high, right? Get him to a price where he's going to have to pay for a MacBook. Those things, that's not cheap.
You get one under
$1,500. Well, house costs 6 figures.
4 gigs of RAM.
Yeah, 4 gigs of RAM. It's going to take 2 minutes to boot up.
I'll give you $100 extra on hard drive, okay?
Okay. So, Ruben, last time you bought a laptop, when you bought the Surface before, how did you go about buying that Surface?
Just went in the store and the salesman sold me on it.
Sold you on it? Tell me about that.
Yeah, he was telling me the benefits and the speed on it. And, yeah.
Did any of those things matter to you?
They do.
They do? The benefits?
Just the
program, specs?
Speed.
Okay. Well, I don't know any of that stuff about this thing. So. It's got top of the line
performance. Apple's gonna hire you, man.
Yeah, it's got the best. It's got the best speed. It's got the best processing. It's got the best memory. Okay, so if I understand this correctly, right now your laptop's, you know, insufficient for what you're looking to accomplish. It's, you know, every time it's going down, it's slowing you down. You're losing $400 a day. In some weeks, $2,000. Did I get that about right?
Yes.
Okay, and if we were able to solve this problem, how important is it to you to solve that problem?
Very important?
Yes. Okay, so for some of the people that we talked to, there's three things that can come up in the way, right? There's either money, time, or resource, or relationships. Which of those three do you think would impact your ability to get one of these, get a MacBook today?
I guess, I need to talk it over with my spouse.
Talk over your spouse?
No.
We talked about it earlier. We made a decision. I'm confused. When we met in the beginning, you said that you were going to either move forward or not move forward. I don't remember us talking to your spouse. I'm really confused right now.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't bring her uncomfortable.
I'm lost. I don't understand. I thought we discussed this in the beginning. But, I mean, it sounds like solving this problem today is really not that important to you.
No, it is.
Oh, it is? Okay. So I got, you know, great news. So given what you talked about between the $1,500 and $2,000 mark, got this great used MacBook.
Used?
Maybe 4 years old. we didn't summarize it again. So we got summarized, right? You're looking for this, 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 and this. All right. If I can give this to you, what happens next?
Then we will work out a deal.
What is making it work out a deal? What does that mean?
We're making it happen.
Not today.
Yesterday.
Taking it back again.
I mean, only if you're comfortable, because he needs to fight for it. He needs to want it. What are you talking about? Prospect gives up. Prospect, we're not closing him. Did I close him? Did I close him?
No.
He's closing himself.
Bring the child out.
Yeah. Yeah, like no today. But you didn't bring your credit card.
Yeah,
Oh, you did? Okay. So that's it. So.
You don't have Visa, MasterCard, or American Express, do you?
What color? No, that's what Brad does. Like, what color is your credit card? So that's it, right? So then we sign him up. Good. And after that, we do the post sale. Okay, so when you go home today, you know, your girlfriend, you know, your roommate's going to say, like, you know, this laptop.
Yes,
he's going to be a PC guy, right? He's going to give you crap about it. What would you say?
I will say that it's not.
I'm not losing 8 grand a month.
All right, because for me...
It's going to make you some money.
All right, it's going to make you money, right? So, I mean, what does this laptop represent to you?
My job.
Yeah. For me, it's a solution to your problem, right? It's you're keeping that $400. It's not falling out of your wallet every day. We're solving this problem. We're solving this pain that you got, right? So, you know, just... And here we're just role-playing. So, like, when your roommate sells this to you, he's got ammo to back it up, right? So he's not going to feel dumb from his roommate. And that's it. And that's the end of the sale.
Okay.
So that's the whole process for a stupid MacBook. Sending this to Apple, that's fine. Maybe we'll get some affiliates out of this. All right, any questions about that whole process? I mean, that's the whole process in like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Repeat it twice.
All right, so kind of more clear, right?
Yeah.
On the benefits of the selling process. So, I mean, I'll think about it. He got that guy to talk to my girlfriend. And I was like, oh, man. I really screwed up about this today. I don't know what I did wrong. then he's gonna rescue me.
There's a lot of pushing him away at the end there.
To make him fight for it. You did that multiple times. We're able to do that more than, like, obviously using quite a bit.
What's that?
Like going back, like, I guess, taking me back.
That's something that I'm focused on working on for the next 2-3 weeks. So. I mean, every time we do a role play with Brad, it's like, God, it's just so natural for him. Like, for me, I completely forget to do it. So
yeah.
I ask him, like, so when he does a role play, he's like, well, not today. And everything he does, like, God, that looks great. Like, how often do you use it? Like, probably like 60-70% of the time.
Oh, my God.
All the time. Right? So not today, and only if you're comfortable. So that's it. Stop the recording.